We have a deacon serving here in the Redlands area, Mr. Dave Hall.
We've been doing Bible study in the book of Luke, and one of the stories in the book is just really a great story. It's a story about the two believers who were on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and this was the very first day of the week when Christ had just been risen the day before. And so, if you read the very first, I think it's the third verse of the first chapter of Luke, he says he has perfect understanding about how all these things came to be from the very first, and that he could give an accurate and orderly recording of it. Well, knowing that, we ran into a verse here in chapter 24 of Luke. If you take your Bibles and turn over to chapter 24 of Luke, to where the story of the two men from Emmaus, or on their way to Emmaus, are walking. And in the story, they have already started talking to one another, and Christ comes up to them and joins them. Now, this is the first day after he'd been risen. The tomb was empty. The women had been to the tomb. They found the stone rolled back. A couple of angels sitting there saying, he's not here. He's risen. Don't you remember he told you this? In 3 days he would rise again, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again. And so they hurriedly back to the disciples. Well, these two men didn't hear about all that. All they heard was the rumor that possibly he's risen. Some women were chattering that maybe he's not there in his grave. And they just didn't know for sure. So they're talking about it, but they're sad because they realize that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, they really thought he was the Messiah, and that the Israel was going to be redeemed. It was going to be delivered, not just spiritually, but also physically from the Romans. And they just weren't sure now, and they were sad about it. And Christ joined them and said, what's going on? Tell me all about it. And of course, in verse 17, he says, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these last days or in these days? And he said to them, what things? Now, give me a break here. He's baiting these guys, isn't he? But he says, and what things? And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and other rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, and here's the problem that I want to present to you in verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Well, now, wait a minute. Jesus was raised on the third day. Is this day here in verse 21 speaking about Easter? I mean, don't the people who keep Easter point to this day and say this is the first day of the week and Christ is risen and we should be worshiping him? Well, what is being said here? Now, remember I said that Luke had all things perfect. Luke had everything in order. Luke knew that when he wrote this, what he intended and what he meant. So one of the things that I want to bring to you today is that this is a conundrum, but it is one that can be well explained. This third day that these men are talking about is actually the day before. Now think about it. When you read the Greek, and most commentaries will agree on this. I've read about 8 commentaries on this verse. And out of the 8, there was at least 5 of them that said the very same thing. The other 3 didn't know what he was talking about. But the 5 agreed that what he was saying was that these men had hoped. They had hope because they had heard Jesus Christ. They had been to his sermons on the Mount. They had heard his messages. They had seen the miracles. They had seen Lazarus or heard about Lazarus being called up from the dead, being raised up from the dead. They knew that Jesus Christ had said, his very own words had said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. So they were hoping that the day before, Saturday, the 7th day of the week, the day before, because Passover had been on that Wednesday afternoon, they could count 1, 2, 3. Here it is, Saturday. But they had not heard anything. They had not heard the news. Was Jesus Christ risen? But then they hear about these women. They hear about these women talking about the grave is empty. The stones roll back. He's not there. And they were at a quandary. Does this mean that besides all this, on the third day, he did raise up. He did rise up like he said he would. They were almost to the verge of hopelessness. They wanted to see their country redeemed. They wanted to see their country delivered from the Romans. These two guys were Jews, but they were not necessarily fully believing Jews. They had heard the messages. They even heard Jesus Christ speaking with them. They were even walking to Emmaus with him, talking to him. But for some reason, they just did not have that belief, that strong belief that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Of course, we know that they didn't have the Holy Spirit at that time either. But he says, today is the third day since these things happened. So they realized and they turned to Jesus and they said, maybe he is risen, because this is what we're hearing from the women. Yes, and certain women of our, reading on in verse 22, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. All of a sudden, two men who were hopeless are now coming alive with hope, realizing that what Christ had said, he is the Messiah. He has risen. And he didn't raise up on the fourth day of the week. He rose up on the seventh day of the week, or the third day, that he, as he said he would. And that's what the Greek is intending here. And there are at least five commentaries that will tell you that the Greek language is explained this way. It was this verse is what I'm understanding from the commentaries is the most difficult verse to explain because of how the Greek is worded. Now, I'm not a study of Greek, so I can't explain everything that the commentaries are telling me. But what I can see is that they agree that these two men were speaking about the day before, the third day. And they were excited, and they were sharing that news with Jesus Christ. And let's read what Jesus, how he responds in verse 25. Then he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones." Now, why would Jesus tell them that? "Oh, foolish ones. And slow of heart to believe," because that's what they were. "And all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." These two men had heard things. They had heard the sermons from Jesus before. They had seen the miracles. But they were hearers of the word. They were not really truly believers of the word. They wanted to believe. But remember, they didn't have God's Spirit yet. Do we not sometimes find ourselves in that same quandary? We want to believe, but we have these things tugging at us, these worldly things. You know, the problems of our day are tugging at us. And we want to believe and set them aside. They wanted to believe. And so Jesus expounded the scriptures to them, and they began to see. Brethren, the point of my message is we need to have within us burning hearts to believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and looking forward to this Passover evening this coming week, to know that we are going to have communion not only with one another, but with the living Son of God. We are going to have the bread blessed. We're going to have the bread broken. We're going to have the wine there before us. And we're going to be able to take communion before our Creator. These two men here had burning hearts within them when they realized who he was. Let's read on in verse 32. "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Brethren, when we prepare ourselves to take the Passover this coming week, I pray that we're not taking the Passover just for Thursday night, if just for this Passover coming up, that we have burning hearts within us for a lifetime, burning hearts looking forward to the next Passover and the next Passover and so on, knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, knowing that he died for our sins, knowing that we have the opportunity of being able to share in exceedingly precious promises and to partake with the divine nature like Jesus Christ and to live forever in his kingdom. This is something that the scriptures have been telling us. This is something we've been studying. We have God's Holy Spirit, and we are reading these things and learning them. But these two men didn't have God's Spirit, and their hearts burned within them. Well, I pray that we do not have that complacency, but that we have burning hearts within us. So as you approach this Passover season, this Passover night coming up this next week, study your scriptures. Study and pray. Because the way to have a burning heart is to get into God's Word and let Him speak to us. And then for us to get on our knees in our prayer closet and speak to Him. I pray that we too, in this coming Passover, will not have just for this Passover burning hearts within, but that we'll have burning hearts within for the rest of our lives.